Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Hey, welcome back to 7 o'clock hour. We're live here at Dolphins training camp where the way things are going, you never know what's going to happen next, right?
Nope.
The
best part of it.
Probably more so in this camp than any other camp. We've been a headliner, man, so far for everything that's going on.
We've been here every day at camp so far.
We've been here for Ryan Tannehill's
outside the
injury.
Weekends. Yep.
Jay Cutler's first day.
Jay Ajayi. Remember we saw on the first day of pads getting hit.
We've seen it all. So
we've even seen Jakeem Grant's two biggest touchdown grabs of his career.
Saw that.
Basically.
And then, by the way, had a pretty good game the other
day.
Yeah,
he did.
He really did. I know that wasn't brought up, and we'll talk to Darren Rizzi about that. You know, he did something, and it's not a big deal, but I'm curious because I may be way off on this, and I know my partners disagreed with me. Did you see him come up on the sideline, make the diving punt return catch going out of bounds?
Yeah.
I thought it was a great play. He catches it. And they thought it was dangerous, and it could have been a fumble. But I said, but he was going out of bounds anyway. I want him to get confidence no matter where it is, he can catch it.
I'm 50-50 on that because I do think that it was a good play when it comes to getting the ball and just securing the ball. But I think it was a little bit dangerous.
But Jason and Jimmy both disagree with me.
Yeah.
He said you got to let it go. And I said, listen, he's been getting ripped that he lets it go too much and he doesn't come up. So the fact that he wants to show him he can catch everything, I'd have done the same damn thing. But maybe I'm wrong. So
no, I'm 50-50
on that. And I admit I might be wrong, so I want to hear what Riz has to say and what he thinks because those guys got to make decisions real quickly, right?
Of course.
Whether to fair catch it. Nothing worse than fair catching a ball. Nobody's 20 yards around. You're going, what are you doing?
You get ripped.
And then he doesn't fair catch it, and a guy just drills him right as he's catching the ball. So we'll see how that – I'm curious to see – what Darren Rizzi has to say about that whole thing on that. We've got a lot of news going on. The Cowboys are going to be, and you were right, and I was wrong, just so I didn't forget.
Thank you.
It was
on my sheet.
I didn't think they'd suspend Zeke Elliott for 6 games.
Yep.
I was shocked.
The minute I started to hear that was the minute I thought to myself, there's no way it's going to be under 6 now, especially if – because he didn't get – you got to remember, it's not like this guy spent 30 days in jail and now they're figuring out what to do with him. It kind of was just not there until Roger Goodell and the investigative team got to see some of the evidence, and obviously some of that evidence was damning. There was something in there, whether it was a picture of the lady or what.
Oh, no, she had black and blue marks.
There was
all
something
over.
There where Roger Goodell, and I'm okay with Roger Goodell taking a stance. And you know what? With all the players and with all the media like us coming out and saying, oh, well, why is Roger doing this? Why is Roger doing that? Guess what? It's the player's fault. The players gave him too much power, and this is what's happening. If you're upset at the suspension and the time of it, then you know what? At the next players' union, say when we come back for the CBA, we can't let Roger Goodell just dictate stuff.
Well, let's get to it. First of all, everybody's been real careful with their comments on this, including the Cowboys and everybody else that wants to defend Elliott for because if it is domestic, and it's just alleged domestic violence.
Yep.
But the problem is Jerry Jones thought it was way too strict. Right?
Of course. So it's his player.
He's not happy, and he's one of the best players in football right now. Last year was Brady, who fought it for a year, peeled it for a year before finally going, okay, it's over. They go on and win the championship and everything else. But there's a lot of people that think Roger Goodell could be in a little trouble as he is now taking on the two most powerful owners, or perceived to be.
Yeah, the only other guy is Mara in New York. That's the only guy that might have as much power.
You know what, though? I don't know if he's in the category.
Who was on with us that said he could be the puppet master, Mara, in the background that no one even realizes, that he could be pulling all the strings? Someone we had on last week said that. And you know what? The more I think about it, I know Jerry and Robert Kraft are the two most, outspoken or popular guys, but Mara could be in the background, background kind of pulling some strings.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. But Roger Goodell now and the owners, they want him to take care of the game, but apparently not real happy with this. And so
not when they suspend their own
guys.
I'm
really curious to see. And Roger's made, over the last 6 years, more than $125 million as a commissioner.
Wow.
And so I'm curious to see. I guess he's going to appeal this whole thing. I guess he could do what Brady did, right? Probably. Could he fight it off for? I don't know how the whole appeal thing.
But doesn't
works.
It takes a couple? It takes a couple weeks or whatever for the appeal to go through. And I think that at this point, the appeal will be. I mean, gotta remember, you're appealing to Roger Goodell. Like, that's where the appeal's going to. So what does it go down to if he appeals at four games?
Well,
like, he's gonna get suspended.
No.
I think
You can. I think they're gonna try to fight it, but they may at the end of the day just get it over. Again, it's not cheating. It's not cheating with a football. We're talking about domestic violence.
Yeah.
And the one thing, there ain't a lot of people bitching outside of Jerry Jones about what just took place with this suspension. Most
Correct.
People are going, she's bruised up, she didn't do it to herself, the league, and you know, then basically they're saying, well, the league believes her over Zeke Elliott. Well, there must have been some kind of evidence for them to go all out.
But
who knows? Anyway, it's going to be interesting what happens to Roger Goodell, whose contract's coming up here in a couple years, and what ends up happening there after he's made him a lot of money. But things have been kind of a mess, right?
Yes.
All their suspensions and the way they've handled everything, and so I don't know how it's going, but you know what? Some of the owners may be going, way to go, way to take those two on. We all get equal votes. We may not be – there's different cliques in the NFL, but – there may be some people going, Stephen Ross may be going, I don't care about you guys. Stephen Ross can be his own guy.
Of course, he's proved it.
He's not going along with, like, I don't care what you say. Last time I checked, just because your team's worth more than mine or won Super Bowls and mine hasn't.
I'm still an owner in the NFL.
We all have equal.
That's
Jacksonville's
right.
got same vote.
That's right.
Oakland's got the same vote. Now, you may have guys that like you more than other guys. You may not be part of the good old boy network as much, but
if Goodell has a support of 17 owners, he's okay. That would be a majority. That would be one more than half.
There could be some owners sitting back going, way to go.
Yeah.
My wife's pumped up, and I love it, too. Way to go. Not letting those two control things. I like that. So it'll be real interesting to see how that whole thing comes and works out. So, anyway, we got Darren Rizzi going to join us coming up. We got Hollywood's headlines.
That's
also
right. Early version of Hollywood. Going to
be
headlines.
Coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. So we have all that stuff and get caught up on everything over the weekend that took place, including the biggest news in town, and that is Jeffrey Loria has decided to sell his team to Jeter and Sherman, and by the way, could be out in October.
First week of October, it looks
over.
Like it, yeah.
Jeter and Sherman team taking over for $1.2 billion. David Sampson making it official, and everything else that went with it that was, again, part of that was just, was that a disaster?
Yes.
Is it every time David Sampson opens his mouth?
Correct.
Why can't it just be nice for everybody? Why do there have to be shots taken? Whether it's at Stephen Ross or Forbes, why do you always have to be a weasel? It's a weasel move. Why do you have to take a shot at Jorge Mas? Jorge Mas just wanted to buy your team. Yeah, good fan. Stay a fan, but forget about owning the team. You're out. Then he called. The only problem I have is Jeter and Sherman or Miami.
I don't know how.
Where are Jeter and Sherman, Miami?
I don't know how.
Did Sherman go to high school down here? Oh, maybe Jeter went to high school.
I don't think either.
Oh,
no. No.
I was just curious.
Miami ties there outside of a weekend in Miami. On
Jorge Mas is Miami.
Yes, correct. Yep, didn't make sense. Comment didn't make sense. We wanted to get Miami flavor in there. How? Where? MJ?
I don't.
MJ comes to Miami once in a while.
No, he lives up in Jupiter.
Yeah, so is that what he's talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what that comment.
Is there someone else in that 16 owners at Miami?
If he just says, I thought it would be best for Miami and leave it at that. But you just start saying stuff, and, like, he's so used to lying so much, right?
Pinocchio.
And manipulating. Oh, yeah, his nose in that Pinocchio. By the time that little press conference was over.
Yeah.
And Craig Minervini was next to him with that
uh-huh.
smiling and
Craig
laughing
was holding
at everything.
His nose. Yeah.
The nose was getting bigger, and Craig was over there keeping it clean next to him. You're exactly right. That's what was going on. Hey, we got Hollywood's headlines when we come back.
That's right.
And then we're going to have Riz join us, talk about his special teams, talk about this team as well as they get set for practice. A couple of days away from the second preseason game, the Baltimore Ravens, who, by the way, these two teams that we're playing in the preseason, we also have to play in the regular.
Does that happen a lot, by the way?
It happens sometimes.
And that used to happen with Tampa Bay, I don't know a lot.
If it's ever happened. Two for two.
That's what I'm saying.
Two for two. Hey, let's take a break. We got a lot to get. We're live here at Dolphins training camp.
Radio.com. Radio.com. And now it's time for Hollywood's headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, before we get to Darren Rizzi, what do you got today?
All right, Joe, I want to start it off with somewhere we haven't been in a while, and that's Hassan Whiteside's Snapchat. We've had some really good stories in the past from this thing, so want to check in on Hassan, see what he's up to during the offseason. Well, Hassan came back to his Miami house and found a dead parrot right in his front yard. So let's listen in on the investigation, just to clue people in so they know what they're listening to. The OGs are his fish that he's talking to in this video. So
okay.
Here we go.
Y'all living in Miami, you come home to weird things in your yard. Look, bro, who killed this parrot? It's a dead parrot in my yard. OGs, y'all see what happened? I'm going to talk to the OGs. OGs. Y'all seen who killed this parrot? Tony, who did this? You see anything? Nah, you plead the fifth? All right, say that then. I gotta do some CSI work. We got no blood markings on the wall.
Wow.
So it couldn't have been a head on collision. Nah, I don't see nothing on the wall. No bugs, so he couldn't have been dead long. No wounds of any kind. So no, he wasn't attacked by another animal. No blood. We're going to get to the bottom of this. What happened here? Man, I should have known better than go ask the OGs. They ain't giving up no dead names. They've been in the streets too long. We don't know how this bird died.
That is funny.
Sad day for this bird, though. Shout out to Rio. Roscoe! Roscoe, you see anything? Nah, I look at the trees. I see no evidence of flight this way. We're going to find your killer, bro. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get him. I'm going to find your killer.
I mean, Hassan Whiteside.
It could have been natural causes.
I mean, it could have been. I don't think he thought about that.
He didn't consider that, but.
I'm surprised the OGs weren't talking.
I give him credit, man. He's gotten very creative in his free time.
I think Roscoe might have been the dog.
Yeah, it's Roscoe's possible. The dog statue.
Yeah, I figured, yeah.
He's all alone while he's doing this, by the way. There's no one there with him.
Well, that's what made it creative. He's got little play friends and stuff.
Yeah,
that's great.
I mean, that's all he needs. Snapchat and a whole bunch of animals. He could have a whole good time.
He doesn't need a lot of grown-ups around him. He seems like he keeps
We could be talking about this guy being a crazy person.
He keeps himself very entertained.
Yeah, I'm okay with entertainment's a lot better than arrests. So I'm okay with that.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully we'll get a resolution of this in the coming days here.
Yeah, CSI, Hassan.
He'll come up with something.
Yeah.
Criminal Minds.
That's it. Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Guys, keeping it with hoops and keeping it in Miami. Did you see who was running around Miami over the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it this morning. Zach showed me.
LeBron James was all over the place. He was at the University of Miami practicing. And he also hopped into the DJ booth at the Komodo Lounge, which is in Brickell, and took over the decks over there for a while.
Heard he wasn't a great DJ, though. That was the rumor out there. Not a very good DJ.
I actually heard he was pretty good. It sounds like he's taking a shot.
He sure spent a lot of time down here.
Yeah, for somebody who, you know.
L.A., he seemed to be everywhere but Cleveland. Spending time in L.A. and Miami.
He's home in Miami. He's home in L.A., but he works in Cleveland, yeah.
His son, by the way, looks like he's going to be a hell of a basketball player.
Oh, man, that's scary.
I hate to say a 12-year-old is going to be a first-round pick, but.
Throwing alley-oops to his son.
You see him 6'7", 6'8", dunking like his father, making passes like his dad right now.
Yep, yep.
Wow. What else you got, Wood?
Guys, one more story here. HBO is under attack. They have been hacked, and episodes of the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Ballers, and Insecure, among other shows, have been hacked. Right now, there's a ransom expected to be in the millions. HBO is not willing to pay. They offered $250,000, according to a report. They are not willing to pay the rest of this. And these hackers they claim they have more stuff, including scripts from upcoming episodes. So they have gotten into HBO, and they have all these different episodes. And I guess we can find the new season of Curb online, which is nice.
Well, that would be nice. But, if I'm HBO, I'm quietly paying that money if they really do have all that stuff.
Hey, can I ask you guys, are you guys Game of Thrones?
I am, yeah. Don't ask about last night. I fell asleep, too. I fell asleep.
I fell asleep, and I woke up, and was still on, so I just turned it off.
Yeah, I don't want to watch
any of
it.
Damn, I couldn't stay awake.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I watched the first minute and a half, and then I realized my alarm went off this morning. Yep. So I'm going to watch it
today. Let me catch that bad boy tonight.
Today. Yeah. I can't. You wait till tonight. Well, see, you're not on social media a lot all day long.
No, it's on at 5 or 6 o'clock or something.
If I sit on Twitter all day, I'm going to see every spoiler for it. Yeah. So literally after the show today, I'll be on, like, what is LeBron going, Zero Dark 30 when he goes in the playoffs? I'll be on Zero Dark 30 Twitter until I actually see Game of Thrones tonight.
Yeah.
Are you guys watching the new season of Ballers?
I didn't watch it either, but I have. I'm all caught up outside of last night's episode.
I'm on and off with that show.
The Rock bringing a team to Vegas?
Yeah, I saw that. Very nice.
I didn't think that thing was going to make it. Usually the sports shows don't go long.
No, you're right. But listen, they already got another season. They already said they're going to be back next season, too. Good for The Rock, man. Whatever The Rock
is
touches,
Larry Zonka
though,
still on that as an assistant coach?
He was the assistant coach. Yeah. I think that's the best part. He walks out in the middle of a press conference and takes over the press conference. Good for him.
Crazy stuff. Anyway, hey, we've got Darren Rizzi going to join us.
That's right.
Right after this break, we're going to get to him. We got a lot to talk about, man, around special teams, which has to do with a lot of different guys. We'll get into all of it with Riz coming up in just a few minutes. And Tom Garfinkel going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. CEO of the Miami Dolphins. We got a lot to talk to him about with Hard Rock Stadium.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Miami has Dolphins, the greatest football team. We bring the ball from goal to goal. Like
football's back on WQAM and KISS 99.9 this Thursday night. The Finns host Baltimore. We'll be live at Hard Rock Stadium at the South Gate. Chris Whittingham and Crowder will host Dolphins game night from 5 to 7 p.m. Jimmy and Joe call the game at 7. And Big O and Troy Stratford will host a fifth quarter postgame show after the game. The radio home of the Dolphins is KISS 99.9 and WQAM. Listen online via the TuneIn app.
All right, let's get right to him. Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator and assistant head coach, joins us this morning before practice starts here in the next half an hour or so. Riz, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, and man, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Hey, we were talking about this during the game. Jakeem Grant comes up on a punt return and makes a diving catch, beautiful play on the sideline.
Yep.
So me and my partners are going back and forth. I thought it was a great play because I think it's great for his confidence and stuff to just catch everything. What did you think of that? Good or bad play?
I actually thought it was a great play. You know, I actually mentioned in our special teams meeting the other day, we were watching a game film. You know, that's a play Jakeem probably didn't make last year. You know, just he'd probably been a little hesitant. It was a little traffic over there. And, you know, that ball, as we all know, it bounces in bounds and rolls another 15, 20 yards, and all of a sudden it's down inside the 10, and that could be a game changer. So I thought it was actually a really aggressive play. I thought it was a good play. Just showing some range here, getting to the ball. And you know, again, I think last year we let a few of those bounce on the ground and didn't work out very well for us. So I thought that was a good play.
And even if he doesn't catch it, just a quick thing. But if he doesn't catch it, at least the momentum that he has is going to take it most likely out of bounds, right? So you start there. That was my thought.
Yeah,
Okay.
Exactly. You know, I agree. And again, he went a long way to get it. You know, I think some people would say, well, he's diving for it and maybe he fumbles it and all that stuff. But, you know, that's something we really worked on. You know, Jakeem let a few short balls bounce on the ground last year and just, you know, kind of got us in traffic and let the ball bounce on the ground. And then a lot of times, like I said, we lose field position there. So just that's something we've been working on with him a lot is just the decision making, showing some range, coming up, communicating, decision making, all those things. And I think I really thought it was a good play on the sideline.
All right, Riz, I've been asked the $50 million question coming out of last game is Raekwon McMillan's on special teams. I heard, well, why is he on special teams? He's a starting middle linebacker and he got hurt on the first play on the punt team. Will you explain everything as far as linebackers and your thought process?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know, I've actually heard that as well. I think the first thing that people need to understand is, you know, when anybody breaks into this league at those positions, those defensive positions, whether it's linebacker, safety, cornerback, defensive end, you know, those are the guys that make up your core special teams. You know, and you go through, and I was actually thinking about, I was having a conversation with Cam Wake yesterday, and him and I were talking about his second year, Cam Wake's second year in the league. He went to the Pro Bowl. He was our starting right tackle on a punt team for 16 games. And you know, you go back and you look at anybody that's been through here, you can pick any of the high draft picks, you know, defensive players, all those guys have played special teams for us. Just that, and that's not just the Miami Dolphins. That's league-wide. And, you know, we had a very, you know, clear vision for what Raekwon was going to do for us, both defensively and special teams. And, you know, we you know, the thing that people forget, too, is a lot of these guys don't play special teams in college. And if they're going to be, you know, have to perform for us on special teams, which he was going to have to, mm-hmm. they've got to get game reps. I mean, he wasn't going to get a lot of them, to be honest with you. But, you know, we need to get those guys reps. But that's, again, Joe, that's every guy that's ever come in the league. I mean, you remember when you played. And
everybody.
Especially
linebackers. Linebackers play more special teams than anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, you can go talk to a guy like Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas and, you know, on our roster, like I said, Cam Wake, Rashad Jones. I mean, anybody that's been through here has really, you know, all those guys, every single one of the guys I just mentioned, play special teams throughout. And listen, it was an unfortunate deal. No one feels worse than me. I feel terrible for the kid. It's a, you know, you never know when that's going to come up. It just happened to be his first NFL play. But, you know, if the tides had turned and he had played some defense first, who knows when that first punt's going to come up. And we were going to get him a couple reps. But he had to get some live action. The last thing you want to do is get him out there for the first time in the first game of the year, and all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't have any experience doing that, and then that's a bad situation. So, again, very, very unfortunate. But I think, you know, it only becomes a discussion when somebody gets hurt. You don't realize right. how many guys are actually going through and playing and doing all those things. Like I said, you can mention anybody that's been through here at those positions. You know, you can talk about first round draft picks, second round. It really doesn't matter at that point where they were taking the selection process. And listen, everybody was projecting him as a starter, but you know, my job as a special teams coach is to get everybody ready to play. And you got to look at all the what ifs. What if he wasn't a starter? And now he's a four core player. And what if he had gotten beaten out by Mike Hall or Neville Hewitt or somebody else? Now it's my job and Adam's job to get everybody ready to play, and that's the thought process there.
Okay, Coach, another guy we talk about on special teams a lot, I know that Joe's mentioned him a lot and we've talked a lot, Kenyon Drake and what he brings, and he's just very dynamic, whether he's running the ball around the edge or running back one of your kicks or punts, whatever it is, he's really just – he has another gear. We had him on the show a couple months back, and he talked about how fast Jakeem Grant is, but – Drake to us, I mean, he's got to be a burner out there. It's got to be fun to have him on your special teams as well.
Yeah, very explosive guy. And you know, he's another guy that last year really did, you know, I think everybody remembers obviously the kick return against the Jets, but he did a lot of other things for us on special teams. You know, he was, towards the end of the year, one of our better cover guys in kickoff. Really sets the table. He's one of the first guys down the field. And you look really for the second half of the year last year, he really blossomed into a very good cover player. It's something, again, he hadn't done at Alabama, but throughout the year got a bunch of experience. He just plays very, very fast. Like you said, he has another gear. He's got a good football IQ, really good, you know, and so we're going to even look to get him even more, you know, involved this year, and obviously we'll see what his role on offense is, but he's a guy that could potentially play on all four teams for us this year, and I agree. An explosive guy, flash player. I think everybody knows what he does with the ball in his hand, but he actually makes a lot of plays a lot of times without the ball in his hand as well, and that's really important, as we all know.
Riz, I want to ask you, because we're up doing the game, and special teams, I mean, it was all over the board. You get two takeaways. You guys recovered two fumbles, actually set up to win the game. But you had some returns against you. You had some great returns. So how'd you look at that whole thing overall for special teams?
Yeah, the crazy roller coaster, right? It was riding the wave. You know what? We're playing a couple things. Number one, you know, we're playing a lot of young guys. A lot of guys doing it for the first time. We're obviously getting a look at some of these players that have never done it before. And that's what the preseason's for. You're looking to get a lot of experience for guys that haven't done these jobs before. So, you know, a lot of the players we had out on the field are a lot of rookies, a lot of new players that are new to our system. And so that stuff's going to happen. You know, you're going to ride the roller coaster. I try not to get too emotionally tied into these preseason games with all that. It's really an evaluation process. The other thing is, I'll be honest with you, on the punt plays, our punters did not have a great night. We didn't locate the ball well. We didn't have great hang. The only punt we really had good hang time on was the last one by Matt Hawk that we got the fumble on, was a really good hang time punt. The rest of the punts, to be honest with you, weren't great, and the locations weren't great. We kind of put the pressure on the return, the coverage team a little bit. And so, again, yeah, it was definitely a roller coaster. We had some nice return by Storm Johnson. We obviously had a couple fumble recoveries, which was good. We made all of our field goals PAT. So, you know, there was certainly, you know, that's what this, to me, that's what the preseason's for. It's a learning experience for everybody. You're really getting a chance to evaluate all these young guys. And no doubt about the roller coaster thing. No, too many peaks and valleys. And that's the one thing I told our guys. You know, we met after the game. It's just, listen, if we're going to be the special teams unit that we want, I don't care who's out there, you know, obviously the consistency thing is very, very important. But, you know, I think you're going to – we always joke around here as coaches. You watch the special teams throughout the NFL in these preseason games, and, you know, you tell you what, you see it all. You see a little bit of everything.
hey, Riz, the other thing that I was thinking about, you still have your core of – lot of them of the really good special teams players from a year ago. So how's that go about working? I still see that core of guys, the Michael Thomas and all those guys, yet you still have all these new guys trying to figure out who's going to get those handful of positions.
Yeah, you know, it's a delicate balance. So, you know, you obviously have to get those guys ready. I think, like you said, Joe, we've had a lot of guys here. You throw out some names like Mike Thomas, Walt Akins, Damian Williams, you know, Mike Hull, some of these guys that have played a lot of snaps for us, they necessarily aren't going to get a ton of snaps in all four games. They may get some here or there. But, you know, as a coaching staff, we kind of know what they can do in those situations. And I go back to what I said before about these rookies that haven't done this in live action. Those are the guys that are most important to evaluate and get live action, because, like I said, the last thing you want to do is have the first time they're doing this be, you know, if they make the 53 and they're active for the game, The last thing you want to do is have them the first time they're doing it in game one against the Buccaneers. And so we're getting a lot of those younger guys and a lot of the newer guys. So in this last game, you didn't see a lot of those core teamers that have been our kind of our stalwarts, if you will, in this game. Now we'll get those guys some action at some point, you know, here or there. They'll get some plays just to kind of keep them fresh, but they're not going to get a ton. We're going to continue to evaluate a lot of these younger players and see if they can help us.
Coach, I know that obviously the second guessing of Raekwon being on the special teams, and we talked about JT and Zach, and you even brought up Cam Wake, which I didn't even realize was on special teams. You ever have a vet who's been in the league, who's finally made starter status, that still wants to be, you know, involved with the special team, still wants to be running down on punt returns or kick returns, just a guy who's just wants to be on the field at all times? Because I look at special teams and say, all right, well, it's where the young guys go, but once you get into starter status, it's kind of like, okay, I'm away from the special teams. I'll go to a meeting if I need to, but I don't really want to be on punt return. You ever have the opposite of that, where a guy wants to be involved?
I have. You know, there's been a number of guys that've come through. You know, defensive players, a lot of the linebackers and safeties and corners, they ask to be on the kickoff team. They kind of look at it as like a warm up play for them going into defense. So I've had guys, some veteran guys like Jeremiah Bell and some guys that come to mind that were really good defensive players that would like begging me to be on the kickoff team. So, coach, I gotta be on there. I want to be my prelude to being out there on defense. It's kind of a play where I'm running down. Even if it's a touchback, I get a little sprint in, get warmed up, and there's a lot of guys that want to be on the coverage teams, no doubt about that. And it's funny, I ran into JT the other day at our son's playing the same Pop Warner League, and him and I were just you know, BSing about special teams and whatnot. And here he is. He's saying when he went up to the Jets later in his career, he was playing on punt return and field goal block. Again, people don't realize that. But here he is. He was, you know, later in his career, in one of his, you know, I think his second to last year up there with Westhoff and at the Jets, and he's on two or three teams back, even at that point in his career. You know, and again, and like I said before, no one really discusses it until we have a situation right, like we did the other night. You know, and you don't realize, no one's looking and realizing that Cam Wake's out there running down a kickoff and the punt team and all that. And but those are the players that make up your special teams. I mean, it is what it is. And we've had guys, like I said, throughout, you know, Kiko Alonso, what do you think he did his first couple of years when he was in the league for both Buffalo and Philly? He was playing on special teams. And so did Timmons. I mean, Timmons and I spoke the other day. I mean, he broke into the league, and that's what he was doing his first couple of years, is playing special teams. And I mentioned Cam and Zach. And that's what these guys do. I mean, you look where Rashad Jones is in his career right now. His first two or three years, he was on a few teams and was a great special teams player for us. And so, yeah, I've had those veterans that have come to me and say, hey, Coach, listen, I got to be on – I want you to put me on this one, or I want you to put me on that one, and this is what I want to do. And you know, and listen, we obviously emphasize the importance of it around here, and everybody's involved. Every single player has some type of role. Dominican Sue was on our field goal block team, and you know, and so you can look at multiple, you know, what people will call high profile players, and I think they play more special teams than the average fan realizes.
Hey Riz, real quickly too, you know, the watch has been on Jakeem Grant every day, like, oh, he dropped one, or oh, he dropped one. Yeah. I know it's gotten even in the offseason bothering him because he said something on social media to one of our media members. I'm just wondering, for you guys, we know Amit, oh, Jakeem Grant needs to hold on to it, his hands are – how are you treating the whole thing? Is he your guy, or do you want to see more? What do you tell Jakeem Grant every day?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I've never had a guy, and this is my 25th year coaching, 16 college, 9 NFL, I've never had a guy work at it more than he does. I want to start off by saying that. I've never had a guy catch more punts in off-season, practice, every day, daily, just going out, routine. I've never had a guy that works at it more than he does. So start off by saying that. So that, obviously, alone, I have a great respect for him. He's made a dramatic improvement from where he was last year till now. Has he caught every single ball? No. But let me say this. For a guy that's out there catching thousands of balls, you know, I think everybody's, you know, overemphasizing the drops and not looking at the progress that this guy has made. And so, you know, I have a lot of confidence moving forward with him because of the work ethic he's put into it and the practice time he's put into it and the level of seriousness that he's, you know, kind of taken with this whole thing. And so, yeah, I mean, he's going to be back there again this week. We're going to continue to get him live game reps. He's still a young player. And, hey, listen, he hasn't been perfect, but his decision-making has gotten better. We're trying to put him in as many tough situations as we can. You know, we're not just kicking him layups every time. We're trying to make him move his feet and do all those different things. And so certainly I know he's kind of under the microscope, and I get it. He's got to put himself in that position based on a couple of plays he made last year.
Right.
But I'm really happy with his progress, and I'm looking forward to playing, you know, working with him and playing with him this year.
All right, last question for you, since you're talking about all those years. Greatest special teams player you've ever had, you've ever coached.
Wow, that's a tough one.
It was just a tackling machine where you look and you just go, my God, how the hell do you make all those tackles?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the last couple of years, obviously Mike Thomas has been great in terms of coverage. We've had some really, you know, we're fortunate to have some great players come through here. I've obviously had some good guys throughout my college years as well. And it's tough to kind of to single out one. I mean, Jason Trusnik was a guy here that had a lot of good years for us as a core special teamer. And when I first got here, a guy like Pat Cobb. So we've had a bunch, and we've got a bunch right now. It's always hard to single out that one guy. Someone brought up Raekwon the other day. You know, people don't realize Jarvis Landry was covering kicks as a rookie. He covered kicks in the preseason games and in regular season games as a rookie. Most people don't even remember or realize that. There's Jarvis down there making tackles on kickoff, and here's another guy returning punts and everything. So we've been fortunate. We've had a lot of good players come through here and a lot of good guys. It's really hard to just say this one guy.
All right, I just thought maybe you had. I thought maybe you had one that was just a
favorite.
Yeah. Just a favorite that you just, my God, having him out here, you almost sit back and had a cigar and a cold beer.
you guys realize I'm going to say a name and I'm going to walk into special teams meeting this afternoon. And
oh, so that's your guy, huh, Coach? Saw that in the newspaper.
Yeah. I'm going to get to look. Okay, Coach, I see how it is. That's the guy, huh? I'm,
you know, Joe's so, setting you up, Coach. Good answer. Joe is setting you up.
Set up.
Hey, Riz.
How was Joe Rose as a special teams player?
Awful.
I want to know.
But I got stuck on all of them. But, boy, I was awful. I took some double teams. I think I was off the field. They got video of me hitting my head on the sideline on the bench. I got taken so far out. I think I had a concussion from that, Riz. Hey,
oh,
man.
Great.
It's great having you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, man. We'll see you in a couple days.
Yeah, always good talking to you guys. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
All right. Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator and assistant head coach.
Joe Rose is a special teams guy. Wow.
Not very good. Not very good, but we got stuck on all of them. Not very good, though. Not very good. Not very good at all. Hey, we got 8 o'clock hour coming. Time's flying today.
That's right.
Time's flying. I'm trying to figure out why I'm in such a good mood, and I figured it out. Jeffrey Loria sold the team.
That's right. That's right.
We got a little work left. We got the poll, too.
Yeah, we'll get updated on the poll.
We got all that stuff coming up
in the 8 o'clock hour, yes.
Let's do it. All right.